Well, good afternoon, brethren. Good to see all of you. Smiling faces so far. Smiling faces. Well, by way of introduction, I recently reflected back to a conversation I had with a teenager towards the end of the Feast of Tabernacles last year. And we began the conversation a little bit with the teen just reflecting upon how wonderful his feast was, the times that he had with people there, the other teens at the site, this sort of thing. And then it eventually got to the point where he talked a little about how he was going to face such a stack of homework going home because he just sort of forgot to do it that whole time. And so that then spurred onto another conversation with him. And that is just about learning. The subject of learning, how he expressed that, you know, there's some subjects, there's some projects, there's some things that he did that he just loved. He loved the study, very engaging for him, interesting for him, things that he liked to do. And, of course, there were others that, not so much, you know. Some subjects were not his favorite. But we both agreed on something as we came towards the end of that conversation, and that is this. If you love to learn, if you love to learn and like what you're learning, wow, does that make the difference, doesn't it? You know, we have to learn all sorts of things in life, don't we? Whether you're in school or maybe you have to keep pace in your career with some additional education of some sort, or maybe you have to keep up on banking technology that changes. Something new, something needs to be learned, something's different. It's an ongoing thing, isn't it, for all of us? An ongoing process and being teachable. Being teachable is an important part, being able to adapt and deal with that. And most importantly, as we know, being teachable by God, being teachable by His Word should be at the top, you know, of that list, certainly as we heard in the sermon here before. With that in mind, though, I do have a question for you this afternoon. I do have a question for you, and I'd like to ask it of each of you individually. If you were to self-assess your teachability, if you were to self-assess that, how would you rate yourself? How would you rate yourself? Now, perhaps another way to look at this is to give yourself a rating on a scale of 1 to 10. Okay, remember, this is a self-assessment. This is not your spouse, your sibling, or the one next to you, or anybody else in the room you'd just love to give a score to. Okay? This is self-assessment. Okay? So we're talking about, you know, low end of the scale. Think of 1. What is 1? Well, you know, not good. Stubborn, unwilling to study, that sort of thing. Little or no follow through. Little or no curiosity. I'd rather do anything but study, that sort of thing. Or I already know what I need to know, so what's the point of studying? That sort of thing. I think you're getting the idea of what a 1 would be, or that end of the scale. Now compare that to what a 10 might be. You know, 10, what we might describe as the uber student, the model student, or as Scripture shows, the model disciple. The model disciple, where you are very curious. You're very a curious type of person. You have lots of determination, and a very strong desire to learn. Or, as we heard in the first sermon, there is no Babel tower that is going to get in the way of you accomplishing what you want and need to learn. Think of yourself as that. You're on top of it, and you're doing it consistently. Or you just love. You love to learn. That would be a 10. How teachable are you? How teachable am I? Well, if you don't mind, give yourself a rating. Now, you don't have to write it down if you don't want to. You certainly don't have to share it with anybody else, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands for a profile of your scores later on. But keep it with you during the sermon, if you will, because we're going to revisit this question again at the end of the sermon. So as we, you know, sort of consider this question, though, of teachability, willingness to learn, there's a rather fascinating highlight that we find in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, that has a lot to do with teachability. The Apostle Paul and his companions, they're visiting a synagogue in Berea. They were there to share the gospel, to proclaim the good news of salvation and teach it. And since the Bereans are going to be in their example, are going to be a big part of the topic that we share here today, we might think of the sermon in terms of Berean teachability. Berean teachability. And so what we're going to do here is we're going to explore and explore some of those traits of the teachable. You know, what it looks like, you know, how we benefit from it, and just also see, frankly, how we might compare, you know, to those traits, and to see if we're really honoring God with our willingness, the willingness to learn. Willingness to learn and apply his teachings. Let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 17. I gather some of you are actually already there. And we'll go ahead and begin with some background here around Acts 17. Paul and his companions, they traveled from Thessalonica. I can say it sometimes. Thessalonica to Berea. Berea, which is modern-day Varia in Greece, was a bit off the beaten track, if it were. It was about 50, perhaps 55 miles or so west, southwest from Thessalonica. Well, in the beginning of the chapter, we read that Paul visited the synagogue in Thessalonica, and for three Sabbaths, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Some were persuaded, others were not. And that included at least some of the Jews there who were actually offended by his teachings or the teachings that he shared, and in part by what he was preaching. Some didn't like the fact that he openly preached to the Gentiles. I didn't like that. But in addition, there was a disconnect in their willingness to learn, at least by some. And as the story goes, some did not like what they heard and didn't like it so much that instead of being willing to taught, they actually contributed to and incited a riot of all things. I don't want to be taught. I just want you out of here. I'm going to rush my teachers out. So it got rather heated. So what happened? They finally left, and they left at night. Let's go ahead and pick it up in verse 10 of Acts chapter 17. We'll read verses 10 through 12. It says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." Let's focus on these three points that we just read. These three points about the Bereans and what it is that they did. First, as we just read, what are they, or what were they? They were more fair-minded. They were more fair-minded. Well, why? Because what did they do? They received the word, and not only did they received it with all readiness. They received it with all readiness. And second, they searched. They searched the Scriptures daily to find out the truth of what they had heard. They searched them daily. And then step number three here was the result of those two. Therefore, many of them believed. Therefore, many of them believed. They did these two critical things, and something very important was the result. A very simple recipe here. Very simple, but powerful one. Let's go ahead and span now on each of these three points as we outlined them here and as we just read in Acts 17. And as we do that, let's go ahead and keep in mind this theme. Am I? Are you? Are we? Are we teachable? Are we really teachable? Okay, so off to the first point here. In this example, they received the word with all readiness. Some versions of the Bible show this as readiness of mind, is how it's expressed. It simply means that they had ready and willing minds. They were attentive. They were eager. They were eager to learn. They were ready to learn and ready to receive the teaching. They're also ready to listen. They're ready to hear. They're waiting. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We'll look at teachability, or the trait of teachability, of readiness of mind by simply being a good listener. Simply being a good listener. And as we do that, we might want to ask this other question too. Am I a good listener? Are you? Are we? Are we good listeners? Good listeners. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 to 35. It says, "Now therefore listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Three times in this short passage, God tells us something very simple. Listen to me. Listen to me. And it's not just limited to the act of hearing. It's about who we listen to. Who we listen to when it comes to instruction. Who do we listen to when we want wisdom? And how is it described? It's described as standing at the door. Standing ready to hear. Also implies that if we're not listening, we're probably not learning. Not really learning anyway. Anyway, it's this ability to truly listen that is such an important part of being teachable. I am prepared to hear, God, what you have to say to me. I am prepared for that. I'll just reference it here. Actually, we're going to refer to a lot of the Proverbs through the sermon here. But in Proverbs 4, verse 20, we read, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Incline your ear to my sayings. You know, we are all God's children, aren't we? And that fact alone should prompt us to listen to God. But God specifically says over and over again, he says, "Listen to me. Listen to me. Hear what I have to say. And blessed if you do. Blessed you will be if you not only hear, but if you keep what it is I'm going to tell you." He says to watch every day. Stand at the post and be ready to learn. Stand ready at my door and I will teach you. And more than that, he says, not only stand at the door, he says, incline the ear. Incline the ear to me. He says, turn your ear to me. When you turn your ear, you're basically eliminating all the other noise, all the other distractions, all the other focus onto the single thing that God is asking us to do. Focus on me. You know, don't do this study. Don't engage in God's word while we're working with our PDAs or while we're watching TV or we're doing something that might distract. He says, incline the ear fully to me. You know, God speaks to us through his word, and that's certainly no surprise, but the ability to listen or to read and to concentrate uninterrupted, unencumbered, without a tower distracting, again, as we heard in the first sermon. So important to be able to hear what it is that he has to say. You know, this is very different than what we see in society today, isn't it? Most of the time, and I'm going to speak in generalities here, but most of the time the focus is that people want to be understood instead of wanting to understand. Or they want to be understood first before it is they want to go and understand something. People love to get their point across. And again, I'm talking generally speaking. Something very common in how we communicate. But doing so, all sorts of things can happen. You know, the other person can be partially ignored, totally ignored. You might pick up on a few things, selectively hear only a few parts of the conversation. We get fractional understanding from the conversation. So common in conversations today, and there's a reason why. There's a reason why this happens. Most people listen with an intent to reply to someone, not to understand. I want to listen enough so I can say something back to you. It's so common, this human tendency to take shortcuts and what it is that we say and communicate. And again, I'm making big generalizations here, but there is such a lack of understanding so common, and a tendency to take shortcuts and have short attention spans in communication. So only part of the understanding comes across. And again, this can happen to people, but you know, not only that, it can happen with what we read as well. The tendency to take shortcuts. I'll pick up some things when I read. I'll dismiss others. Pick up a couple highlights. Again, I have something to build. So I don't have all the time for it. Something may distract from that. And it can happen in face-to-face conversations. And it can happen when we study God's Word if we're not careful. It can happen that way. I'm just going to refer to it here, but we read about the opposite of that. The opposite in being attentive and good listeners, or the opposite of being attentive and good listeners in Proverbs chapter 18. I'm going to refer to the same verse here from the New King James Version and then from the New International Reader's Version. But I'm going to go ahead and read Proverbs 18:2. Again, this is the opposite of being attentive and good listeners. And it simply says, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." New International Reader's Version says, "Foolish people just don't want to understand. They take delight in saying only what they think." So God says, if you want to be teachable, if that's something you want to do, you need to be attentive, very attentive. You have to be a really good listener, a really good listener. And you need to seek to understand before being understood. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The Bereans, we are told, received the word with all readiness. They were ready, they were prepared. Prepared to learn, to listen, and understand. In this part of Scripture, we'll read about how God initiates His teaching and how important the response to it is. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 21. Romans 10, 14 through 21. I say thanks to Mr. Dowd. He's letting me borrow his new Bible, and I can read it from here without glasses. I'm in a happy place. Thank you. All right, here we go. 14 through 21 of Romans chapter 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. But Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have you not heard? Or have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Lots going on in these verses. You know, we know that no one can come to Jesus Christ unless God the Father draws them. We read about that in John 6, verse 44. That he in his mercy does call people even if they were not looking for him. Right about that in verse 20. Verse 18 repeats God's promise that the gospel will be preached to the world. And verse 14 to 16, that he will provide teachers. The word will be preached. And furthermore, verse 21 reminds us that God has and will do his part all day long. All day long. Day after day. Faithfully available for instruction and teaching. Even to those who should hear but just don't. Whether they're stubborn, whether they're distracted with their building project, as we heard earlier. Yet God says, I will hold out my hand to you. I will always be available to teach you. I will be available to take us in. I will provide instruction. I'll be there for your prayer time, your meditation, and so on. I will teach you. I'm available to teach you. And with all this teaching and all this availability that God provides, with everything that he has available, will I be ready? Will I be attentive? Will I listen to him?
Will I listen? Will I be teachable? So again, to recap this first point, as we look at the example of the Bereans, what did they do? They received that word. They received it with all readiness. Again, some verses in the Bible show this as readiness of mind. They had ready and willing minds. They were attentive. They were ready to listen. They were ready to learn. Very simple concept, isn't it, brethren? Listen. Listen. Pay attention. Be available. Focus. Very, very simple concepts, but very impactful to our teachability. Very impactful. Let's move on to the next point, the second point. What else did those Bereans do? Well, they searched those scriptures, and they searched them daily to find out the truth of what it is that they heard, to find out. They had a curiosity to find out. They wanted to know. They wanted to understand, and as the case may be, to confirm the truth, to confirm. The Bereans were searching the scriptures and searching daily. The word scripture here means the holy writ, the holy writings, which for us is the entirety of the Bible. So let's turn now to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. If we're going to be teachable like these Bereans, in this example, we need to be those who search. Those who search, those who have a curiosity to learn. Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Again, if we're to be teachable as God would have us to be teachable, we would be like the Bereans in this regard. We'd be searchers. People who search. People who search it out. People who want to figure it out. Figure it out. People who want to know. And what's implied here is people who have a strong sense of a need to know. I need to know what it is that he's teaching me here. I need to know. I need to. You know, there's a lot of information out there, isn't there? Look at the internet as a whole, or just books, articles, other resources, social media, and the aggregate collection of the opinions of so many that makes its way to some sort of electronic format. Yeah, it can be easy, isn't it, to be overwhelmed by the sheer volume of it all. The sheer volume of information, but thankfully God tells us where to go. You want knowledge? I will show you where to go. And it's right here. Right here in our Bibles. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As we search, as we search the scriptures to reveal the truth, we also see that the Holy Spirit, the essence of God, the power of God, not only reminds us of God's teachings, not only reveals the truth, but convicts us of it. That is, if we are humble and if we are teachable, if we're willing to let God work that in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 16. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, or which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God, through his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit teaches, convicts, reveals truth. And God takes us through a progression of learning, doesn't he? We're students. We're students, disciples of Christ, with this wonderful goal of having the mind of Christ. You know, when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at baptism, again, the Holy Spirit being the essence of God, the power of God, this gift that we receive, where is it? Of course, we all know the answer to this. It's within us. It's within. If we keep this active, keep it alive, we submit to God, the Holy Spirit within us, as we read in 1 Corinthians 2:10, it searches. It searches out the truth and guides our understanding as we search and learn. It helps us with that. Shows us the deep things, the deep truths of God. It does that if we're teachable. It works if we're teachable. I'll just refer to it here, but we read in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 through 10, how God reveals knowledge. Major key to understanding the Bible, again, a scripture I'm sure that's familiar to us here, Isaiah 28, I'll read verses 9 through 10, and it simply says, who will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. No shortcuts. No shortcuts. We get the task of searching out the scriptures. Searching them out, the Bible, on any particular subject. Bring all that scattered yet complementary information together to then understand through God's guidance and through the power of His Holy Spirit how we interpret a matter, how we interpret a truth, how it coalesces together. Again, precept must be upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. You know, if we were to spend some time, and we won't here today, but if we were to spend some time in Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13, particularly in verses 10 through 17, where Jesus Christ speaks about the purpose of parables, where he does that. If we go through that, I guess this will be your homework to add to Mr. Dowd's. Please spend some time in Matthew chapter 13. But let's do a quick summary on what's reflected there. He shows that, this is Jesus Christ teaching, again about parables. He shows that they are what? Spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned, and only spiritually do we understand them. Or in this case, understanding the mysteries of the kingdom as revealed by God. It goes on to say, though, something else. More is given to those who are ready to learn and those who search. More is given. While those who do not, it says it will actually be taken away from them. The understanding. The discernment. It speaks of what happens when the hearts grow dull, the ears grow hard of hearing, and the eyes closing, that sort of thing. And we're also reminded in this section of Scripture how many people have wanted to know, how many prophets and righteous men has desired to have access to what has been revealed to the disciples, and by extension, which is or has been revealed to us. The Bereans searched daily the Scriptures daily to find out the truth of what it is that they heard. They searched them daily. That's evidence of a willing learner. A willing learner, this curiosity to learn, of being teachable, and as the case may be, to be corrected, and have the humility to take that correction. And of course, that's what being taught is about, isn't it? You know, we learn, and what do? Well, hopefully we make course corrections. And hopefully most of those course corrections are small and not painful or minor, not the big ones or the ones that are cause great angst, that sort of thing. Because a teachable person will always be looking for an opportunity to refine, to know a little bit better, to know a little bit more, to be able to be better prepared, to be able to do the will and understand the will of God and by and through a teaching as well. Which leads us to the third point. Third point, regarding this example again of the Bereans here, showing what the results should be of the first two points. Again, first, they were attentive. They were attentive. They received the word with all readiness. They were good listeners, or they were listeners. Second, they searched the scriptures daily to find out the truth of what they heard. And third, it says, therefore. Therefore, many of them believed. Many of them believed. They received the word, they proved it, or reproved it, as the case may be, and they were convicted of it, and they acted on it. They acted on it. That's what belief does. I'll just refer to this here, but in John chapter 8, in verses 31 through 32, we read, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Again, this belief translates to action. Simple truths here, brethren, today. It's all blocking and tackling basic stuff. But if we do believe, we'll act on it, we'll live by it, and we'll continue it, and we'll follow the true teacher when we do. Let's now turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In the beginning of the chapter, James shares the benefits of trials, you know, what it should produce in us, and what it means to love God while doing that, while enduring a trial, and while at the same time having this ongoing appreciation to God for his gifts, his guidance, and his truth. Later in the chapter, it shares what should be done, that we should be doers, not hearers of the word only. Let's go ahead and pick it up in verse 18 of James chapter 1. And we'll read verses 18 through 25. "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Of course, we know this word meekness. We find this is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, as reflected in Galatians chapter 5. It's also referred to as gentleness. Interestingly enough, though, meekness also means having a spirit of teachability. Spirit of teachability. We might reframe verse 21 by saying, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with a spirit of teachability the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Let's go ahead and continue with verse 22. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So again, no surprise here. True believers are doers of the word of God. You're doers. So again, I'm just going to recap one more time here about these three points about the Bereans that we touched on. They were more fair-minded because they received the word with all readiness. They were ready and eager to learn, ready to listen. They searched the scriptures daily to find out the truth of what it is they heard. Not just any source. They searched the scriptures daily. They were on it. They were on top of it. Therefore, many of them believed. Many acted on what they learned. Or put another way, they were convicted or reconvicted of a truth when they did this. And it translated into the practicalism of how they lived their lives, because belief translates into doing. But let's notice something, too, within those verses. It says many. Many of them believed. Many believed. Which also shows that not all. Not all of them believed. You know, as a whole, the Bereans were more fair-minded. than those in Thessalonica. But apparently not everyone was 100% on board. Not everyone. Not everyone among the Bereans searched those scriptures daily, necessarily. At least not in a way that would have brought about the conviction and change that's being discussed here. In this case, not all of them believed and acted on them. Not all. On those teachings. You know, brethren, there are tendencies, if you will. Tendencies of those who are teachable and those who are not. Tendencies. I think we should just take a little time here to talk through some of them. Make some additional references to Proverbs as we do. But also, let's keep in mind our little assignment we had at the beginning in service. To consider on a scale of 1 to 10, how teachable are we? How teachable? You know, people that are teachable, they tend to be aware. They tend to be aware of their limitations, and knowledge, abilities. They don't think of themselves too highly. They admit those limitations and inabilities, and perhaps ignorance as the case may be, they are typically willing to admit them to others who can teach and help. They're willing to do that. They ask for help. They look for instruction. They want guidance. They want advice. And they do that before something happens, not after disaster strikes. That's a tendency of the teachable. A particular proverb comes to mind in Proverbs 11:14. Again, I'm going to refer to a few of these as we discuss this part. Proverbs 11:14 reads, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." You know, people that are teachable, they learn from whoever they can, while at the same time being very prudent of where they seek counsel and instruction. But they're humble. And they're willing to change. They're willing to be corrected. They want to learn. And learning will bring correction and change. It's inevitable. Proverbs 9, verse 8 reads, "Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you." Proverbs 12:1 reads, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid." Pretty strong words. People that are teachable listen. They listen carefully, patiently, with a desire to learn. They're prepared to move out of their comfort zone, even making unintentional mistakes or answer wrongly in an effort to learn. They don't give up when they fail at something. They seek help, and you know what they do? They try it again and again until they get it right. Teachable people are that way. The teachable are willing to change their views, even if it means admitting they were wrong. And again, this is very different than the unteachable, who tend to be those who do the bare minimum. They don't spend much time. They don't spend much energy and to learn anything unless they have to. Proverbs 13, verse 4 reads, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." People who are unteachable tend not to ask questions or attempt anything that might reveal their ignorance, risk looking bad. They don't have much in the way of curiosity. They don't easily accept responsibility. They tend to blame others for problems in their life. They don't seek or accept personal guidance or mentoring. Whether that be parents, teachers, pastors, those older, those more experienced than others, they don't tend to listen. Tend to talk more about themselves. That's what they tend to do. The issue all the more heightened when they could learn from someone who they could learn from. Again, they don't take criticism or correction without resentment or retaliation, and they tend to isolate themselves, particularly in times of difficulty. They tend to do that. Proverbs 18, verse 1 reads, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." You know, most telling example, I mean, just to make this personal here, let's just do that. A most telling example of a teachability challenge with any of us, if you or I in this room have an area in our life where we have chronic failure. All of us have failed at something. To say otherwise is just not the truth. And I'm not here to suggest otherwise. But if you or I have a knack for repetitive failure in something, I mean, take your pick. Self-control, how we conduct ourselves in our marriage, what we say, how we parent, our emotions, money management, personal discipline, schooling, or whatever inevitable life characteristic, then we need to check our teachability. And the reason why chronic failure is so telling is because the answers have been and always have been here. And in our relationship with God, they're here. And there are answers in wise counsel for those who can guide and apply godly wisdom. There's no reason to continually fail. There's a path to move past them. Again, I'm not trying to pick on anybody who has had difficulties over time, but to provide the hope that teachability can do amazing things to change our life. Amazing life-changing things if we do it right. You know, the most successful people, they constantly surround themselves with counselors and advisors. But those who struggle heavily might not even bother to read something about it. Very different approaches. Are we teachable? Because when it comes down to it, in particular with regards to God's Word, we have to come to the place where we have the mind and the heart that we have to know. I have to know the truth. I have to know what God is asking of me. I have to understand what He's trying to teach me. And if I have a problem or something I'm struggling with, I need the answer and I need to apply it faithfully and what it is that He shows me. And I need to stand ready to search those scriptures and stand ready for God to do that with me so that God can teach me. I'll be candid. I have my work cut out for me with you. And perhaps you have some things too. Perhaps. Okay, as promised, based on what we reviewed, if you were to once again self-assess your teachability, how would you rate yourself? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate? Again, this is you. It's not your spouse. It's not your sibling. It's you rating yourself. Again, with this scale, 1 being, again, the worst of students. The stubborn, I don't want to study. I don't want to follow through. I'm not curious. I'd rather do something else. I already know what I need to know. Again, I think you get the picture of that. As compared to like a 10. The model student, the model disciple. Where you are a very curious type. You have lots of determination. You want to learn so bad. You have a hunger for it. An emptiness in the absence of it. You're on it. You're on it consistently. And you love to learn and you want to know what God wants to change in you. And you're on it. Frankly, when we have it in ourselves, again, that we just have to know. I have to know what God is trying to tell me here. I have to know. How teachable are you? And how did it compare to the score you gave yourself at the beginning of the sermon? I'll be very candid with you, with me. When I started this study, my score dropped significantly. So don't feel bad. We're in it together. But how does it compare to your score in the beginning? Well, regardless of where you are today, and also in line with what was referenced again in the sermon earlier, if you don't have a perfect 10, and I would love to meet you if you did, perhaps we can endeavor with God's help to take it up a notch or two. And pray that God inspire us to be curious. Curious about His Word, eager to learn. God, give me a heart that wants to know what You want from me, wants me to understand what it is You're trying to teach me. Or relearn again all those things of Your truth. Again, with this end in mind, that we might truly all be teachable.